each one of your lives. My text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11. You don't need to turn to it, I'll just read it out loud. It says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Isn't that incredible? That one scripture is packed with so much. And what I want to really zone in on is, it takes faith, right? It takes faith. And in order to really know and live in faith, we need to understand. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds, it doesn't say the world. It said, it's plural. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And for me, I see three worlds. We see the world that the Bible tells us is unseen. There is a world that is unseen, the spiritual dimension. Then there's a world that we can see. And then the third is my world. My own personal world. The world that I live in, my perception, my thought, my life. And if we understand that the worlds, all three worlds, are framed by the word of God, what does it mean to be framed by the word of God? I thought of that lovely picture, you know, the horse. Many times when people come into this place, they comment on the picture. The picture is framed, right? And because it's framed, we can use it. If we take that frame away from that picture, we don't have the mechanism for it to fulfill its purpose of being a work of art that people can admire. But because it's framed, it's got that structure that we can put it up and we can admire it. The same way, when we understand that our worlds are framed by the word of God. Let's go right to the beginning. The world that we see exists because God spoke. He spoke his word. He said, let there be, and there was. He framed everything that we see. He caused things to be created from things that didn't exist, right? That's the creative power of God's word. And when we understand by faith, when we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, isn't that incredible? How do you see your world? What frames your world? Is it like a painting that's rolled up? What do we do with paintings, you know, when we don't use them? We don't just leave them lying around, right? We roll it up in these artists' kind of tubes, you know. It's not really seen. Its purpose is lying hidden. It's not framed. But when we take it to be framed, then the whole dynamic actually changes. You know, so often we don't see and we don't understand our world and the word that God has for our world, the promises that God has spoken into each of our lives, because we're so wrapped up in fear. It's kind of like the enemy of faith. I remember when I first learned how to drive, I was so excited. Oh my goodness, I passed my driving test. And in the UK, it really takes a lot. It's not like how we get our licenses here. Let me tell you, when my sister had her driving test, there were four of them in the car. And the man said, next. And she got in her seat, turned the engine on, moved 2 seconds, and he said, next. And she passed. In the UK, the average person attempts their test 3 times. Yes, it's a big deal. If you pass first time, whoa, you've got bragging rights, you know. You pass first time, let me tell you, I didn't. But, you know, when I eventually got that driving license, I remember a friend of mine, I was working in the corporate world in Rupert, a very large insurance company, health insurance company. And a friend of mine said to me, and I remember Naomi, don't get stuck in the inner lane, because that's where all the trucks are and it'll slow you down. It's like the most difficult lane. A lot of beginners, new drivers, tend to feel safe going slow and going in that lane, but it's the most dangerous lane because you've got all of these big trucks and, you know, it's just not right. Be confident, move into the center and then go into the outer lane and move, you know, take your space. You can ride in all three lanes. You are not restricted to one lane, even as a new driver. You have got permission to use the whole highway. Don't get stuck in one. And you know, so often in our lives, we tend to stay in our lanes. And sometimes we choose to stay because of fear in the slow lane. We don't want to edge out. We don't want to try anything different. We don't want to remember the promises that God has for us, that we can actually step out in faith and do great things. We think we'll eventually get there. Because, you know, you do eventually get there, even if you go 10 miles an hour, right? But it's painful, it's difficult, it's tiring, it takes so much longer, right? And, you know, for many, many years, actually, especially when we came back to India, you know, we had so much of trauma, I thought, you know what? I just want to stay in my lane. I want to do the things that God has called me to do. I want to ignore everything else. I want to ignore the other lanes. This lane, I'm good with. I'm comfortable with. I don't mind going slow. I'll get there in the end, you know. And that's such a lie that we can believe, each one of us can believe, that's driven by fear. But when we know and we understand that our world is framed by God's word and God's promises over our lives, then we have the confidence then to lay aside fear and actually occupy the whole highway. We don't have to stay in our lane. Don't allow circumstances, the voice of fear, your experiences of the past limit you to staying in that slow lane that chuggles along with all the tractors going slowly. Be confident and know that God has called you and His promises over your life, they are still valid. What He says, He can do. And you know, when we don't understand that, and we understand that By faith, we understand that our world is framed by the word and the promises that God has made, declared, spoken, proclaimed over each one of our lives. So the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Whatever it is that will be seen and will be manifest in your life doesn't happen from things that you can see, not the tangible. And by faith, when you believe that, by faith, when you know that every single promise that God has spoken over your life, He can do, that is the story that frames your life. You can see the beauty and the purpose of your life beginning to unfold. Like that picture that you roll up and you put in that artist's tube, it can be unrolled and framed by God's word and His promises in your life. So this morning, I really want to encourage you to really look at your life. What are all those promises of God that you've rolled away, put in the dark tubes of unbelief, fear, and get them out. Frame it with God's word and display it in your life so that you can remember and that you can know with certainty that God is not a man that He should lie. Every word that He has declared over your life, He will bring about. That we, when we choose to partner with God, that is why the Bible goes on to say, by faith, Abraham. And it says he accomplished what God wanted. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. Didn't see rain, never used a boat. By faith, he did what God had preordained for him to do. And it goes on to say, what can we say of all the other great people that by faith achieved the purpose that God had for them? And it made me think that there must have been so many other people that didn't achieve what God had purposed for them because they didn't choose to understand by faith that God can. And so in our lives and at life here, I really don't want us to be people that don't fulfill every promise that God has over our lives. We need to be people that fulfill that. And when we, by faith, understand, know his word, know his promises, nothing is impossible. You know that song, that Hillsong's popular song years ago, Shout to the Lord, that everybody sang, right? Sure. You know, we still sing it, right? Shout to the Lord. And it talks about, nothing compares to the promise I have in you. You know, God has made promises over your life. Dare to believe. Dare to frame them in your lives. And this year, as we are all believing in life, we can experience the unimaginable. When we frame God's word and his promises over our lives. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are such a good God, that you have spoken words of life. You have spoken words of promise. You have spoken words of destiny over each one of us here at life. And I pray, Lord, that we would be people that by faith understand your word and that it frames our life. I pray, Lord, that we would have the strength and the courage to say no to fear, to say no to staying restricted, but to occupy the whole highway of our lives and to achieve everything you have called us to achieve. We thank you, Lord. We lay hold of every word you have promised over each one of us and over us collectively as a group, as a community, as a church here in life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Nimi. I'd like us to come to time of communion, where we can come to the communion table knowing with confidence that God has done amazing things for us. This is a time for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ can come and receive these elements in faith. And as we do that, and as you walk up here to receive the bread and the wine, remember the price that Jesus paid for you. Remember the things that he did so as you could live a life where you could claim his promises for you. All right? I know we literally seem to claim them freely, but a great price was paid. I've discovered in this world, nothing is ever free. Somebody somewhere pays for something. Maybe you might get it free, but somebody somewhere has paid for it. And our sins are forgiven. We come to God freely. We don't have to give him anything other than ourselves. But when we do that, we open up the floodgates of heaven over our life and all that God has for each one of us. So this morning as we come to the communion table, come in confidence, knowing that you as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have all the riches and the good things that God has for you in faith. So if you believe in God for good health, come in faith. If you believe in God to bring about a change in your circumstances, come in faith. If you believe for God to help you to do better in life, come in faith. What kind of faith? The faith where you're in the highway and not in the slow lane of fear. Come in faith. If you're believing God for a breakthrough in your finances, come in faith. If you're believing God for a marriage partner, come in faith. Whatever you do, come in faith. And God rewards those who come to him in faith. So this morning, let's come to the communion table and receive all the good things that Jesus has for us. God bless you.
Thank you. Dead.